Amen. In case you didn't notice, Vacation Bible School begins tonight at 6 p.m. right here at Big Spring Baptist Church. And we're going to be looking at the Big Apple adventure and how life and faith connect. And so our verse is Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. We've got an outline there for you in the bulletin. If you want to pull out that outline, we're going to be talking about faith and life and how faith and life connects from Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 this morning. And all that God wants in your life and in my life, He wants for us on the basis of faith. Now, somebody said that faith is to the Christian life what a mainspring is to a watch. It is indispensable. Everybody, and as you think about it, everybody has faith. Even atheists have faith. Their faith is misplaced, and the only difference that we have between us, because everybody has faith in something, the only difference is the amount of faith that you have. And many people say, I'd like to have more faith in my life. Well, this verse tells us how to do that. How do you get more faith? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that we get faith through listening to the Word of God. And as we look at scriptures that illustrate and explain how positive faith, the faith that is the right kind of faith, the faith that is placed in Jesus Christ, the faith that is placed in Almighty God, that's the positive faith that can make a difference in your life and in my life. And as we place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, our faith begins to grow. And today, we're going to do an overview of faith and trust. And I want us to look at, how can I trust the Lord Jesus Christ? How can I trust God? How can trusting Him help me in my daily life? How can trusting Him help me connect my life, my daily life, and faith? Now, the Bible uses the word faith or the word believing over 485 times. And so God is trying to send us a message when He says something over and over and over. So I want to begin this message, first of all, by giving you eight things that help us when we put our trust in God. The first way that we are helped and the first benefit that we have, how I trust God determines what God can really do in my life. Jesus said it like this in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 29. According to your faith, let it be done to you. Now, God says you get to choose. And we talked about answered prayer last Sunday morning, but God says that you get to choose how many of your prayers that I answer. And you get to choose how much I can work in your life. It is according to your faith. Now, there are thousands of promises in the Bible. Somebody said there are over 7,000 promises in the Word of God. And faith is the key that unlocks those promises of God. It determines what God can do in your life. That's the first way that trusting God will help you. The second way that trusting God will help you is that trusting God can solve hopeless situations in your life. And it says it like this. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, nothing will be impossible for you. Now, basically what Jesus is saying, if you just have a little bit of faith, if you just have faith in a big God, then nothing will be impossible for you. Anybody here facing impossible situations right now in your life? I have an idea that there's some of you who are facing what seems to be a hopeless situation, an impossible situation in your life. And you need that verse. It doesn't take a lot of faith. You just put a little faith in a big God, and you get big results. The third way that trusting God helps you and me is trusting God is the secret to answered prayer. Now, last week, we said that God answers prayer in three ways. God answers prayer by saying yes. And we all recognize that answer, and all of us like that answer. But there are two other ways that God answers. God says not yet, which is a delay. It's not a no, but it is a delay. Or God says no. And we don't always know when God says no if we're not close enough to God. But trusting Him allows you to know when He says yes, when He says not yet, or when He says no. A fourth way that trusting God helps us is trusting God is the way to succeed. The Bible says in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, everything is possible for him who believes. Now, why is that true? Why is that true? It's true because faith turns dreams into reality. And it gives you the confidence to move ahead. A dream is a statement of faith. Warren Van Braun, the man who founded the space age, who initiated the United States rocket system, said this: there has never been a single great achievement in history without faith. It's the secret to achievement. Everything is possible for him who believes. And then there's a fifth way that trusting God helps us. Trusting God is the foundation for miracles. And many of you have experienced miracles just in the past day or two. And even today, we believe in miracles. And I had the privilege of being with our young people for a few minutes this morning, our teenagers. And they believe in miracles. And we talked about miracles that have been happening all around us. But look at what John 14:12 says. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. And then Jesus goes on and makes an amazing statement. He says, even greater things. What an amazing verse that Jesus would say, you will do greater things than I have been doing while I was here on this earth. Anybody here doing greater things than Jesus? Oh, I'm not even halfway there. And you're probably not either. But what in the world did Jesus mean when he said that you will be able to do greater things than I have been doing here, you know, on this earth? When Christians pray. That's what Jesus was talking about. When we pray as believers, miracles happen. And miracles can happen all over the world. You don't have to go to some place across, you don't have to go to Russia to pray for a miracle in Russia and have a miracle happen in Russia. You can be right here praying and that miracle happens because God answers that prayer. That's the kind of thing that I believe Jesus was talking about. When he was here on this earth, he was confined to the places where he was, and he did miracles everywhere he went. But as believers, we now have prayer, and we have the Holy Spirit who guides us in prayer, and we can pray, and we can see miracles happen all over the world because we're trusting God. It's the foundation for miracles. The sixth way that trusting God helps us: the Bible teaches that failure to trust God, you might think this is not a way to help you, but it is sin. Failing to trust God is a sin. Pastor, where does the Bible say that? Well, it says it in Romans chapter 14 and verse 23. Everything that does not come from faith is sin. How much did you sin this week? I sinned. Because there were some things in my life that did not come from faith. But on the same token, there were some things that came from faith in my life. And God blessed that. And God answered those prayers. But God says we need to live in faith. And sometimes we blow it. And when we blow it, God forgives us. But God expects us to depend upon Him. And then the seventh way that trusting God helps us, it is the only way to please God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Are there any parents here this morning? Anybody? I believe there's more parents here than that. You just don't want to claim that you're a parent. Yes, we do. We love our children. I know we love them. But I'm not going to do anything mean or anything. I'm going to make you stand up and say anything like that. But how many of you are pleased when your children put their faith in you and they trust you that you're going to provide? All of us parents are pleased when our children trust in us like that. And God says, when you trust in me, it pleases me because I am your heavenly Father. And it is a benefit. It is a way that helps us to please God. And then the eighth way is trusting God will make you a winner. All of us want to be winners. But 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 says, this is the victory. We've won. We've won. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Faith gives you confidence in Jesus. It gives you confidence in God. It neutralizes fear. It gives you the ability to press on. Can you imagine Moses and Aaron? You remember Moses and Aaron, they got to the Red Sea. They were coming out of Egypt, and they got to the Red Sea. And the Egyptian army was in full hot pursuit. And there were mountain ranges on each side. There was nowhere to go. And God says, I want you to part the Red Sea. And can you imagine Moses and Aaron getting ready to part the Red Sea? And Moses says to Aaron, you first. Or, like some of us men do sometimes when we don't want to do, ladies first. Can you imagine that? Faith gives you the ability, the power to have the confidence in God to move ahead when you need to move ahead, and it produces victory in your life and success in your life. Does anybody here ever think, I'd like to have more faith? I'd like to have more faith. I'd like to have more faith increase. Faith is the indispensable element in the Christian life. So what is faith? The Bible tells us that Christians are to live by faith. And yet most Christians, we can't even give you a working definition of faith. A lot of Christians, you ask them, well, how would you define faith? They'd say something like this. Faith is trusting God, which that is true. But how do you do that? How do you trust God? How do you make it practical? How does it apply to my life? How can I connect faith and life? How can it apply to my job? How can I apply it to my marriage? To those kinds of things in my life. Faith is such an important concept. You cannot describe it simply in one word or one definition. Faith is like a diamond. It has many different facets, many different shapes and sides. And I want us to look at eight ways to trust God. We're going to spend the rest of the time, eight ways on how to connect life, your life, my life, with faith in God. First of all, how do I know when I'm trusting God? I'm trusting God when I enlarge my thinking. When I enlarge my thinking, the Bible says in Ephesians 3:20, God is able to do so much more than we can ever ask for or even think of. And so what God is saying, think of the greatest thing that you can think of. Man, some of you have great imaginations. But God says, even those of you who have the biggest imaginations, God says, I can top that. I will top that. And God says, you haven't seen anything yet. What can you imagine? The greatest thing you can imagine in your life, God says, I can outdo it. Let me give you an example in the Word of God. We use Abraham an awful lot, but God did so many things in the life of Abraham, and the Bible talks about the faith of Abraham. But in Genesis chapter 15, this first principle in enlarging your thinking, it's illustrated there in that chapter, in the first part of chapter 15. And faith always begins with an idea. Faith begins with a dream. It begins with a concept, with a mental image, a picture. It always starts with an idea. And God came to Abraham one day, and God said, Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of a great nation. Not a puny nation. Not the smallest nation on the face of the earth. But I'm going to make you the father of a great nation. And you're going to have a lot of children, Abraham. And so that was something that was not easy for Abraham to believe. Because at the time God came to Abraham and said that to him, Abraham was well up into his 90s. He was approaching 100 years old. He didn't have any children at that time. And God says, you're going to be the father of a great nation. And I can imagine Abraham's like, yeah, right. And so God had to give Abraham an illustration. He had to give Abraham a picture. And in Genesis chapter 15, it says, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a dream. And then the word of the Lord came to him and said, this man, and he was talking about Eleazar, his servant, he is not going to be your heir, but a son is coming from your own body who will be your heir. And he took him outside. He kind of pulled him aside, and he took him outside. God took Abraham outside and said, look at the heavens. Just count the stars. Indeed, if you can count them. Have you ever tried to count the stars? And this is what God said to Abraham. Indeed, if you can count them, so shall your offspring be. And Abram believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. God said, Abraham, I'm going to enlarge your thinking. I'm going to enlarge your imagination. Look up at the stars and try to count the stars. That's how many descendants you're going to have. Faith always begins with a mental image. It begins with a dream. It begins with a picture. It begins with a vision, an idea. And God says, here's something you can visualize, Abraham. And every night when Abraham walked outside, he looked up and he said, that's going to be my family. That's going to be the size of my family. The entire Jewish nation came out of this man, Abraham. And God starts by enlarging the way we think. And he does that by giving us a dream. He gives us an illustration. He gives us a picture. He gives us a vision. What you can conceive and believe, what God gives you, you can achieve. And so faith is enlarging. I know that I have faith in God, and I'm trusting God when my thinking is enlarged. And then the second thing, I'm trusting God when I reach out in faith. Now let's look at another passage of Scripture in Mark chapter 5. If you want to turn there, you can. But in Mark chapter 5, there are several things going on there. But there's this story of a woman. As Jesus is on his way to heal another person, this woman comes up to Jesus, and she had been sick for 12 years. She had an issue of blood. She was a bleeder. She could not stop the bleeding in her life. And because of that, that made her ceremonially unclean in the Jewish culture. And that meant that she had no social life. She was a lonely woman. She couldn't be out in the crowd. And one day she heard Jesus was coming to town. And she said, if I could just touch the robe of Jesus, I know that I would be healed. And so she took the initiative and she made a daring act. And she went out into the crowd and she pushes her way through the crowd. And she comes up behind Jesus and touches the back of Jesus' robe. And you know the story if you've read it before. Jesus recognizes the touch of faith. He says, who touched me? And people are pressing all around you. There's a great crowd there. And people are pushing and shoving and trying to get to see Jesus. And the disciples, you know, they were just stumbled and bumbled. You know, they were a bumbling group so many times. And Peter was a kind of the Barney Fife of the disciples. And Peter says, what do you mean, who touched me? Look, everybody's around you. And you say, who touched me? But Jesus knew the difference in the touch. Jesus knew the touch of faith. And the woman comes to the front and she says, I did, Lord. And he says, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Why? Because she took the initiative. She broke the rules. She went beyond the boundary. She pressed ahead. She got through the crowd. And because she took the initiative, that was an act of faith that healed her. Faith and life connect when we decide to go to Jesus. This is where it begins. When I reach out in faith to Jesus, it is committing myself to that action. Then the third way that I know I'm trusting God, this is a tough one, when I risk failure for Him. When I risk failure for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no faith without risk. Faith means stepping out into the unknown. And you don't know what's in the unknown. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, we live by faith. It's talking about us Christians. We live by faith, not by sight. That means we walk. That means we live looking with our spiritual eyes, not our physical eyes. We look at it from the point that God looks at it, not from the point that man looks at it. And that can be scary. That can be scary. And faith is letting go of your security many times. Faith is saying, I'm going to face my fears. I'm going to risk failure. I'm going to take the dare. And I think about Jesus calling Peter to walk on the water. Peter risked failure to go to Jesus. Well, what was the failure that Peter was risking? He could have drowned. There's an interesting point about the story of Peter that we seldom bring out. So many times we focus on Peter sinking. But the interesting point about the story there is if you want to walk on water, you just got to get out of the boat. And Peter did. Somebody said, behold the turtle. He only makes progress when he sticks his neck out. Risk the failure for God. I'm trusting God when I risk failure to follow him. It's making the investment of my time. I risk my time. I risk money for Jesus Christ. I risk energy. I risk my reputation. Whatever it is, I risk the failure to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you eliminate the fear of failure? How do you do that so that you never again have to be worried about the fear of failure? You're motivated by faith rather than being motivated by fear. I'm motivated because of my faith in Jesus Christ. Then the fourth way I know I'm trusting God is when I believe he will do great things. Matthew 9:29, again, according to your faith, let it be done to you. Faith is expectation. It is positive expectation. It is that I expect God to answer. You expect the solution to come through. You expect things to work out. You expect to win. You expect to be victorious. You expect it all to fall into place. Expectations are faith. And you know what? We tend to see what we expect to see. And we tend to listen to what we expect to hear. And we act the way we expect to act. And we have a tendency to feel the way we expect to feel. You know, when you get up in the morning, do you expect it to be a great day or a bad day? It's what you expect. And we do that and we set ourselves up for failure or for success, for fulfillment or for frustration, depending on the level of our faith. Faith is expecting the best. You know what? I want to be a godly optimist. Not just an optimist, but a godly optimist. Somebody said that an optimist is somebody who goes after Moby Dick in a rowboat and takes some tartar sauce along. Expecting the best. I know that I'm trusting God when he enlarges my thinking. I know that I'm trusting God when I'm reaching out to him. I know that I'm trusting God when I'm believing in him that he'll do great things. But sometimes the answer doesn't come immediately. Sometimes there's a delay. And that brings us to the next one. I know that I'm trusting God when I'm patient, even when God doesn't answer immediately. Patience is an evidence of my faith. Here's Psalm 40 and verse 1. I waited, and I waited, and I waited for God. At last he looked. Finally he listened. He lifted me out of the ditch. He pulled me from deep mud. Do you ever feel like that? That you're just down in deep mud? You know, you're trying to move, and it's just like you're in 6 feet of mud or 5 feet or whatever. You know, you're drowning in mud. But that's an evidence of faith that you wait on God. And somebody said, how you respond in the waiting rooms of life is evidence of your faith. And so the question is, how long can you wait? How long are you willing to wait upon God? It is a mark of maturity. You know, most children can't wait worth beans. They haven't learned the difference between no and not yet. They think a not yet is a no. They think a not yet means it's never going to happen. Maturity is the ability to wait upon the Lord. Faith is waiting for the answer. And sometimes the answers delayed. And that's one of the things that I'm learning in my Christian walk with the Lord. I want to learn how to wait upon the Lord, because when I do, His timing is absolutely right. You know, many times it might be the right thing that I've asked God for. It's just the wrong time. And so I don't want to get behind God. You don't want to get behind God. And I don't want to get ahead of God. And you don't want to get ahead of God. You want to be just in the time of God, because God's timing is perfect. It's perfect in your job. It's perfect in your marriage relationship. It's perfect in your schooling. It's perfect in your education. It's perfect in every area of your life. It's perfect in your retirement. It's perfect in praying for healing. It is an answer to prayer. Whatever it is, God's timing is perfect. There are so many illustrations in the Bible, but just think of the children of Israel when they were in slavery in Egypt. How long did they have to wait? 400 years. They waited 400 years. That's a long time in anybody's book. Even when Moses came on the scene, they had to wait another 80 years, 40 years for Moses to grow up in Pharaoh's palace, and then another 40 years for him to go to the backside of the desert to be trained, to grow to spiritual maturity. Moses comes back at 80 years of age and finally decides to lead them out. God's timing is perfect. It always is. And then the sixth way I know I'm trusting God is when I listen to His directions. Hebrews 11:8. What a beautiful statement about Abraham. And you know that Hebrews chapter 11 is God's hall of faith. He mentions the people who are really the men and women of faith throughout history. And in verse 8, He's talking about Abraham, and faith is following God's instructions. It's listening to God. Even when you don't, when God's words don't make sense, even when God's words aren't logical, or they don't seem rational, it's following God and listening to Him and being obedient to God. Here's what it says about Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. Obeyed and went. Even though he did not know where he was going. That's faith. Can you imagine this? God comes to Abraham one day, and Abraham's sitting in the office, and God taps Abraham on the shoulder. Abraham, we're moving. Abraham says, great, where are we going? God says, you don't need to know. Abraham says, how soon do we leave? And God says, right now. Abraham said, what's it going to be like? And God says, milk and honey. Great, that's real descriptive. God, how do I know when I get there? God says, I'll tell you. Abraham says, how long is it going to take? God says, don't worry. And Abraham says, okay. And he goes home and he says, honey, we're moving. Pack up. That took faith. It says Abraham, when called to a place he'd later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. And faith is obedience. It's listening to God. It's following God's instructions to the T. You remember Gideon? You remember his story in the Old Testament? Gideon took 300 soldiers to go into battle against 10,000 soldiers. And God says, here's what you're going to take into battle. Here's what I want you to take into the battle. I want everybody, every one of those 300 of your soldiers, to take a torch, and everybody is to take a clay pot, and everybody is to take a trumpet. Standard equipment in war, right? A trumpet, a clay pot, and a torch. And God says, you go out there, you circle the camp of 10,000 soldiers at midnight, and when I tell you what to do, you do it. Now, the amazing thing is, Gideon followed God's instructions to the T. He listened to God. God said, put the pot over the torch so that the light doesn't shine out. And when I say go, you're to break the pots and blow the trumpets. And you'll be all around the camp, and 300 men are going to look like 3,000 men. And they'll jump up in that camp in their sleeplessness, and they'll start slashing each other, and you won't even have to fight. They're going to kill each other off. And that is exactly what happened. It didn't make sense. 300 men against 10,000? Has God ever asked you to do something that didn't make sense? Sure He has. Don't ask questions. When God asks you to do it, just do it. Faith is listening to God and following His instructions. The seventh way that I know I'm trusting God is when I'm determined to keep going. Faith is keeping on, keeping on. Faith means I never give up. Faith is continuing to persevere. The fact is, people of faith don't know how to quit. They never give up. They keep on keeping on. They keep at it inch by inch. They work at it. And sometimes you're waiting, and that's passive. And sometimes you're being persistent, that's active. You're working, and you're striving, and you're continuing. And don't give up even though you don't see the answer. You keep working at the marriage. You keep working at the job. You keep believing that there's going to be a breakthrough. You don't give up. And I think about Noah. Noah is an amazing man too. God said, you're going to build an ark, and then it's going to flood from rain. The amazing thing is that it had never rained. They didn't know what rain was. There was a mist that came up from the ground and watered the earth. And that's why they'd never seen a rainbow. It had never rained. Nobody knew what rain was. So here's Noah out there building that ark in the middle of the desert. And he has no idea how God is going to get that big boat to the water. It took Noah 120 years. And sin had not yet taken its toll on the lives of people like it does today. And we're the products of generations of the destruction of sin. We talked about that a little bit in Sunday school this morning. But we're the product of the destruction of sin on our bodies. So our age has decreased dramatically since this time. And maybe it was the change in the atmosphere, because after the rains, people live shorter time. But Noah did this for 120 years, and all of his neighbors are saying, you're a crackpot. You're building this big ship in the middle of the desert. But Noah persevered. He was persistent. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Paul's writing to us Christians. He says, so let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. He says, if we don't give up, if we don't quit, we're going to harvest a good crop. And faith is determination to keep going, even when we don't want to. The eighth way, and the last way that I know I'm trusting God, is when I fall down, I always get back up. Because the fact is, everybody falls down in life. We all fail in life at certain times, because we're all sinners. And we all make mistakes. And we all are not perfect. But a successful person is not a person who has never failed. A successful person is a person who gets up from the failure and goes on. A successful person continues. They don't let it get them down. Failure is never final unless you let it be final. Proverbs 24, verse 16. Even though good people may be bothered by trouble seven times, they are never defeated. And God will bring productivity where there has been barrenness. God says, I'm going to bring success where there's been failure. I'm going to bring fulfillment where there's been frustration. I'm going to bring water in the middle of the desert. And I'm going to take a useless life and I'm going to turn it into a useful life. And God says, I'm going to give you the power to get back up from failure. The Bible has some very important principles on how to recover from failure. Maybe there's some of you here today, this last week, you experienced failure and you fell flat on your face. Some area of your life. But that is not as important as what is your response to that failure. That's what's important. How are you going to respond to that failure? You're going to lay around, have a pity party, let it get you down, or are you going to get up and continue to trust God and do something about it? Maybe some of you are reacting to a past crisis, a divorce, a bankruptcy, a major embarrassment, a problem in your past, and you're ashamed of it. Faith refuses to have a pity party. Faith says, I will not look at the past. I will look to the future. I will look to God, and I will see what God wants to do in my life. And I will see what I can become, not what I have been, or even what I am today. Because what you focus on is what you move toward. Faith looks ahead. And faith in God can do anything that God can do. It starts when you enlarge your thinking. When you first say, God, I believe that I have a tiny bit of faith in my life. God, would you water that faith for me? Would you cause that faith to grow and expand and become something great? God, help me to see myself in a way that I've never seen myself before. Help me to stop thinking of myself. Help me to stop saying, Lord, that's just the way I've always been. God, help me to see not who I am today, but who you will help me to become if I will just trust you and let my life and my faith in you connect. Now, if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you can do that today. You could be saved today. And you need to place your faith in Him. You've got your faith in something right now today, but if it's not in Jesus Christ, you're never going to experience those things that He wants for you, which bring you real joy and great joy in your life. Or maybe you're here today as a believer, and you would just say, Lord, I've been kind of stagnant and stale in my Christian walk with you. And Lord, I haven't let faith and life connect, and I've been trusting in so many other things, and I've fallen down, Lord, and I haven't gotten back up. I just didn't think I had the power to get back up. Lord, give me the power to get back on, to get back up, and to continue on, and not to quit, and to trust you in every area of my life. I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to sing a song of invitation, and our Sunday school class is going to come and pray during the invitation time. They'll be praying for you. They'll be praying for me that we will respond to the Lord Jesus Christ as He speaks to our hearts. I'll be standing here at the front. You come. Come to Jesus today. Come and rededicate your life to the Lord Jesus as we sing.